This is a maimer that the Rebbe delivered on Shabbos Parshas Metzeder, a year much like this one, because it was before Pesach. The date was Zayin Nisan, which is actually today's date. The year is Tovshin Mem Aleph, corresponding to 1981. Nothing about our studies of Parshas Tazri or Metzeder have been easy. And this maimer is not going to be an exception. Because I want to be able to get somewhere, so I might skip around a little bit. Only just to be able to actually cover something. Fasten your seatbelts. This is not for the faint-hearted. Lahovin inyan hanigoyim. The mimer opens with the words to understand the concept of these lesions, these paranormal dermal lesions, and other kinds of lesions, including Chesterfield's wardrobes and homes. Hamavur b'parsha seinu, which is explained in this week's Torah portion, parsha of Metzeder. Ube Parsha Kodemes, and in the previous Torah portion, which this Parsha is a continuation of that. So the Alter Rebbe in Lakuta Torah, he quotes the Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim is the writings of Reb Chaim Vital. And in the writings of Reb Chaim Vital, which are overwhelmingly the teachings of the Arizal, well, there's some exceptions, but almost everything that he wrote there is heard from the Arizal. So there's two books which sound very similar. One is Eitz Chaim and one is Pre-Eitz Chaim. Pre-Eitz Chaim is about Avedas Hashem and Mitzvahs. And Eitz Chaim is about the mystical and spiritual realities that are the source of everything. So in Eitz Chaim, which is the Sefer that talks about the Kabbalistic terminology and jargon and spiritual sources of everything, it says over there that the Siba, that the reason and source or cause for Negoyim, for these lesions, Hu machmas, this is because of histalkus oir hachochma, because the energy or light of wisdom is lacking. The inyan hanigoyim, that these dermal lesions or discolorations come, kasher meir rak meichen de'ema, when only the maternal instinct is resonating or illuminating. So if what's wrong, the problem is that there's no paternal instinct, only maternal instinct, or no masculine instinct, only feminine intellect. So how do you fix it then? So the tikkun, the way to fix this for negoyim is laham shecham mechand abba, is to draw down masculine intellect or the idea of wisdom or chachma. V'hainu, that is to say, what does it mean to draw it down? That the meichen of ava, which is an acronym for avaim, which means masculine and feminine, which refers to chachma and bina, intellectual creativity and intellectual development, have to resonate into za. Za is an acronym for ze'er ampin, which means the small face. There's arech ampin, large face, and za, which is small face. The face reveals much about a person. Your elbows do not. So if you look at somebody's face, you'll know if they're wise or not. You'll know if they're happy or upset, if they're frustrated or optimistic. The face tells these things. So the face becomes the screen, if you will, for what's going on inside, especially the eyes.
Small face.
There's a big face, and there's a small face. So first I want to explain what a face is, by using the terminology face, where there's no corporeality in heaven. That makes no sense. So the face is a metaphor. The metaphor is, where is there an expression of whatever it may be we speak about of self? Now there's two selves, there's two yous. There's the intellectual you, and there's the emotional you. The emotional you does not require any maturity. A person can have very profound emotions and be a three-year-old having a tantrum. There's no depth there. There's no profundity there. But when a person develops and grows and matures, so then their intellect becomes the true expression of who they are, their opinions, their biases, the way they look at things, the way they analyze things, who they are as a person, not just whether I get upset quickly or not, or this attracts me or this repels me, but before to talk about the person on a deeper level, we call, I guess, the psychoschematic, or you talk about the cerebral reality of a person, this is called a higher, a deeper form of personality. So the intellectual is called arech ampin, which means a lot of face, and the midas is called ze'er ampin, which means a little face. So we now have a problem, have a breakdown. There's a breakdown between the intellect and between the emotions. And the breakdown of the intellect and emotions is because something's not working right intellectually. And because something doesn't work right intellectually, we're not able to bring the intellect into the realm of emotion. So if we could tinker with the intellect and fix, get the brain working right, then once the brain will work right, then we'll be able to bring forth the cerebral juices, and once they are able to penetrate the emotional syntax of a person, so then we're going to have a healthy person again. That's basically what the Eitz Chaim says. Shezeu ha-hefresh ben yemei sa-chayli yemei sa-shabas. There in the Eitz Chaim, and elaborated in the Likutei Torah, it says this is the difference between a weekday and a holy day like Shabbos. The bimei sa-chayli on weekdays, meir bizar rak bechinas acharayim v'chitzenis demeichen. On a day like Monday or Tuesday or even Friday, what's resonating in the concept of Zah is only the external intellect. Hashem can be a Shabbos, but on Shabbos is Meir Bezod Atzilus Bechinas Pnimius VeAtzmius HaMeichen. Then the inner essence of the mind shines forth. V'chashem Meir Bezod Bechinas Pnimius VeAtzmius HaMeichen. So when in Zah there resonates the essence of the Meichen, Bechinas. So then the Avaim. Azai ein makim le'inyan hanigoyim, then there's no room left for these lesions, and they would simply disappear and be gone. So this is a very brief synopsis in which the Rebbe restates what the Alter Rebbe says in the name of the Eitz Chaim, which is taught in the name of the Arizal. That's how the Maamar opens. Yes.
You said this intellect has to come from Zer Anpin or from...
The intellect comes from Arech Anpin. But here we're not mentioning Arech Anpin. Here we're talking about Ava. Ava is Aleph, Vav, Aleph, which stands for Av Ve'em, which means Chochma and Bina. Masculine intellect and feminine intellect. So if this makes sense to you, either you're not telling the truth or something's wrong with you. And now we have to figure this out. So the good news is that the Rebbe will explain this, and I think when we're done this little session, you'll have an understanding of this mystical formula. Right now it's basically a mathematical formula, which makes no sense to us. Ava, a jumble of fancy terminology, of Ava and Zah and Meichen Da'aba and Meichen Da'ema. Where are we going with this? So first of all, just like, you know, to be, I guess, like honest with this and to teach this integrity, the next paragraph is a chiddush, is a novelty from the Rebbe. But I want to get to the point. So I'm just going to tell you, synoptically speaking, what the Rebbe is going to say now is, the Rebbe says that since we see there's a difference between Shabbos and the weekdays, so there is a chapter of Tehillim that we recite on every single Shabbos morning. And it's actually the first thing we do that's unique for Shabbat morning, because the first paragraph of davening, first few pages, which is Hodul Hashem, Kiru Vishmei, we say it on a weekday, we say it on Shabbos. Mizmin Shulchan Aruch Sabayis, we say it on a weekday, we say it on Shabbos. Then there's Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, we say it on a weekday, we say it on Shabbos. The first thing we start to say, which is unique to Shabbos, the Mizmin we say on Shabbos is Lam Natzeach, Mizmin LaDavid, Hashamayim Misaprim. The heavens are whispering. The heavens are telling a story. The heavens are communicating something. But the Rebbe says that really and truly, the heavens aren't speaking, the heavens are really resonating or shining. They're radiating. And he brings down a Zohar that to this effect. And he goes through the verbiage of the specific Psalm of Tehillim. And he explains that if it would be Hashamayim speaking, it would be Hashamayim Medabrim. But since it's Hashamayim Mesaprim, Sipur Dvarim, telling a story, if you will, or narrating, that's connected to the notion of Sfirus and Behirus, of shining. So on Shabbos, he says, the heavens are shining, and because the heavens are shining, which what this really means is that it resonates into the soul, and he essentially says that this is everything we talked about in the first paragraph of the Maamar, which we said there's a difference in Shabbos, and the weekday is actually happening on Shabbos morning. And it's encapsulated in that chapter of Tehillim, which is the first chapter we say on Shabbos morning. So this is the Rebbe's Chiddush. The Rebbe takes this. The concepts about this Mizmer of Tehillim are talked about elsewhere, but they're not connected to the business of Negoyim. The Rebbe links the two, And if we had more time, you would really appreciate how it lines up and how it's able to advance the idea forward. Having said that, let's move on now to the third paragraph. So now that we stated the Eitz Chaim, as the Alter Rebbe states it, and we connected it to the Pasuk of Tehillim, which we say on Shabbos morning, which is a special chapter of Tehillim, a special prayer, that essentially bespeaks and describes the profundity and the spiritual reality of Shabbos. So in order to understand this business of yes meichen de Abba, no meichen de Abba, yes meichen de Ema, how it works in Zoh, why that would make the difference in Zoh, we're going to first talk about Avodas HaAdam, how a person relates to Hashem. And the Rebbe says here, Yodua, it is well known, she has Beis Mina Hiluch, that there are two pathways. Suppose we are to use the metaphor of a road, a pathway, or a highway, which takes us from point A to point B. We have a destination, we have a point of departure, we're trying to get somewhere. So the road is a two-way road. And this is essentially the two directions. There's a hiluch, there's a journey, which is melmaila lamata. In order for this world to become a holy and a godly place, in order for us to become closer to God, there's a journey that has to have its point of departure on high, if you will, and it's making its way down into our reality. That's part of the journey. That's part of the transformation. But then there's also a hiluch milmata lamaila. There's also a journey that we take from below, moving heavenward, coming closer to God. Simply stated, God bent the heavens onto the mountain, but Moses had to go up the mountain. So both happened. Heavens kissed the mountain, but the mortal had to go up into heavens. You have to meet somewhere in the middle. But really and truly, both of these directions can be absolute and both are needed. This is also known, to paraphrase, first of all, scripture, but a lot of Kabbalah, Ratzai V'Shoiv. Ratzai V'Shoiv means that everything has an advance and a retreat. The earliest sign of life in a sonogram is a heartbeat. What does a heartbeat look like in a sonogram? It expands and it contracts. It expands and it contracts. That's Ratzai V'Shoiv. Ratzai means going out, it's radiating outward. Shoiv means it pulls inward. The candle is the primary example of Ratzai V'Shoiv, the fire that flickers. The fire is going up and the fire comes down. Going up and the fire comes down. Really and truly, there's a maimon from the Rebbe Rashab where he says all of creation is filled with Ratzai V'Shoiv. The waves that crash that come in, and then the tide that goes out. The tide that comes in, the tide that goes out. The winds blow in, the winds blow out, they rustle. Everything is always in a state of movement or motion. Life is in a state of motion. All things that are alive are constantly moving. So, the movement is not single directional. It's a two-directional movement, because otherwise you wouldn't have balance. So the balance requires rushing forward and then coming back. Everybody wants to leave home and go somewhere exciting. Once they're home somewhere exciting, what do they want? They just want to come home. That's how it is. So why do you want to leave so much for? I couldn't wait to get away. And now you get away, I can't wait to get home. Both directions characterizes life. The Beze Fanim Elu, these two different approaches, the Chlolos, generally speaking, Heima Vaidas Hatfila, the Lima Datera. This represents the idea of the prayerful part of a Jew's experience and the intellectual, cerebral, or a study of Torah part of a Jew's experience. So, Mark, you remember years ago you wanted me to give classes during davening. Remember such a thing? If you remember, I told you that Zman Torah L'chud is Zman Tefillah L'chud, that if a Jew is experienced in coming to Shul is only learning and he never davens, then it's not a Jewish experience. It's a half experience. And that's not healthy. In order for a Jew to have a healthy experience, a healthy spiritual experience, both are necessary. You don't know how to daven, you don't enjoy davening. Figure it out. Work on it. Everything else in life you worked on. So you have to work at it. But both are necessary. The Tefillah, he's Sula Mutzav Arza. The archetypal paradigm for prayer is that ladder that Jacob saw in his dream. It's rooted in the ground, and its head reaches into the highest heavens. And in Torah, it says, "Kimin Hashemayim Dibarti Mochem." God says, "I spoke to you from the heavens." That's how he describes Revelation at Sinai. Now the Rebbe says something interesting. Even though, generally speaking, prayer is a ladder of us going up, rooted in the ground, reaching the heavens, which is Momata, Lamaila. And even though Torah is milmaila Lamata, God speaking to us from the heaven, so to speak. But really, Bepirati is, if we get into the details, the Torah ubetfila, in both Torah and prayer, Gufa, Yesh Beis Bechinas Elo. We have both of these dimensions. The Beteira Gufa, within Torah itself, there's Torah Shebechtav, there's the scripture. The scripture comes from on high, and that's why the elements of scripture we don't even understand. Like something called Kri and Ksiv, that the Torah is written one way and read another way, and actually the way it's written makes no sense to us. But the Torah's scroll to be kosher has to be written that way, because that's the nature of scripture. It comes from a higher place. And then there's Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral traditions of Torah. And if you just open a book of Talmud or a book of Zohar, and you read words and you don't know what you're talking about, you're wasting your time. Because Torah Shebaal Peh has to be understood. And it's about human ingenuity. And it's about the mind, our minds that can grasp. And that represents Halo Milmata. That's us reaching out from below, us trying to grasp and understand the profundity of Torah. That's why Torah Shebechsav is metaphorized in Torah literature as day, and Torah Shebaal Peh bechinas laila. They comprise the day. Actually, according to the Arizal, you're supposed to study scripture during the day, and you're supposed to study the oral Torah at night, and not the other way around. Why is this? Because at night it's dark. So in order to find your way around at night, you need either to light up, create artificial light, or you could just feel your way around, but you have to figure out where you're going. And in Torah, and so that's what night is. And in Torah Shebaal Peh, you have to figure out where you're going. So all these questions, you have to figure it out. It's not simple, it's not straightforward. But the scripture, which part of thou shalt not thee not understand? It's very straight. It tells you exactly what you got to do. You may not know exactly what that means. Then you go to Torah Shebaal Peh and you figure it out. But the scripture is straight.
So scripture's bringing it down.
Scripture's bringing it down.
Oral is
going up, yeah. Well, that is a betfila. Tefila also, he has the same thing. Let's go back to the metaphor. The metaphor is the ladder. Ah, indeed. It's rooted in the ground and reaches up to the heavens. Did you remember that was Malach Elikim Oilim? But Veyardim, angels were going up, but angels were also coming down. Leirak Elim Elikam Yerdim. And so it is also with tefila. In the beginning, tefila is us reaching out. Lemailo. We're reaching out to heaven. We're making requests. We're pleading. We're begging. But afterwards, what comes? What's the other part of prayer? Prayer is making the request, but the other part of prayer is getting the answer. I know I'm shachalamata, bringing it down below. That's the rest of prayer. Up till the Shmon Esrei, we're lifting ourselves higher and higher and higher, trying to come into a higher state of consciousness. And then when we get to Shmoneh Esrei, the Amidah was supposed to be in the highest form of cleaving unto Hashem. And then we have to take that and bring it down. The second half of prayer, the part of prayer where we're coming down the mountain, which is the Shir Shal Yom, the Song of the Day, which finishes off Ahay Hashem L'melech HaKol HaAretz with the end of Aleinu, that God is king over, so to speak, over creation. Hanu Kabbalas Malchusi is Baruch L'mata, that the acceptance of God's dominion here, not in the heavens, on earth, lamata, tamadover. The reason that you have these two different directions, there is a virtue in reaching out, a virtue in trying to elevate yourself, a virtue in the journey if you're heaven bound, but then which is called ratzoi, which is called yearning for Hashem. My dear friends, the world is not created to be a place of chaos and yearning and spiritual inspiration alone. Hashem created the world so that we would subdue the world, the powers of the world, control the different powers, settle the world, a settled place. And a settled place comes not from inspiration, but rather from dedication. If everything would always be characterized by inspiration, then everything here on earth would be in a state of chaos. Why? Because nobody's taking care of the house. We're all busy experiencing our yearning. We're all busy getting inspired. So if we're busy getting inspired, that there's nobody that's taking care of the laundry, so to speak. There's nobody that's making sure that the walkway is shoveled. There's nobody paying the bills. Everything's crazy. The whole thing spins out of control. So we need to have inspirational life, and we look for inspirational life, and that's great. But if all we get is inspiration, and we don't take the inspiration and harness it and channel it and actualize it and concretize it, then we get nothing. The ultimate purpose of creation is not that we should fly into the sky, but rather, that we should make God a dwelling place in this world. Don't only make God a dwelling place. The emphasis is that the dira, that the dwelling place for God should be in the lowest, most ordinary and regular elements of our existence. Now, the Rebbe says, now that you understand these two directions, the going up, reaching out, the inspiration, and the actualizing, the bringing down, bringing it into our realm. Now that you understand those two levels, so now understand that Ratzi V'Shev is actually Meichen the Ema and Meichen the Abba. That's the masculine intellect and that's the feminine intellect. How's that? Meichen de Ema, who beginnes Ratzi L'mayla. Meichen de Ema is when a person maybe hears an idea, grasps a concept, and tries very hard to understand it. So you're reaching for the idea. You're in your place, you're where you are, but you're reaching and you're trying to understand, and you analyze it this way, analyze it that way. And really and truly, Meichen de Ema is contemplation, it's meditation. You sit and think about an idea. You ruminate. What does that idea mean to me? How do I bring it into? How do I elevate my surroundings because of this? How do I get outside of my old paradigms and put myself into reconfigure things in a new paradigm? All of this is part of the contemplation that accompanies what's called Meichen De'ema, the feminine intellect or bina. And therefore, ultimately, the sum total of that contemplation or meditation is inspiration. Because if you think really long and hard about an idea to the point that you elevate yourself into, you pick yourself up into the idea, into a higher state of consciousness, what will a higher state of consciousness invariably do for you? It will inspire you. It will uplift you. It will put you into a different place. And that's what the feminine intellect does. That's how Bina functions. And this was the problem with Nadav and Avihu. They were Avedasam. We have famously said that their service to Hashem was Ratzai, without Shoiv, like the Or HaChaim says in many places in Chassidus is talked about. They rushed forward, they were so inspired, they were on fire, they were energized, but they weren't bringing it down. There was no Shuv. And that's the idea of Shasui Yayin Nichnasu, that they entered into the Holy of Holies after having too much to drink. They used the substances of wine to be able to elevate themselves. The Nadav and Avihu had Avedasam Eisa B'tachas HaKadusha. Do not make the mistake of saying that Nadav and Avihu were sinners, Chas V'Shalom. The Or HaChaim says they were the holiest of the holy. Like it says in the scripture itself, B'krovei HaKadosh. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said to Aaron, I think they're holier than me and you. I knew God was going to make an example of somebody to demonstrate to the nation how careful you have to be about the Beis HaMikdash. He said, B'krovei, the ones who are closest to me. I thought for sure me or you would be held to a higher standard and the people would learn a lesson. But instead, what turns out? It was Nadav and Avihu. They're holy yidnas. Umizem movement, from this we can understand the mashenichnasu shesu yainu in yinailu yeser. These are not winos and drunks. When they went in using their lechaim and using their wine to channel their inspiration, it was a very, very lofty kind of service to Hashem. Because we know that yain in general is not marijuana or even vodka, that yain is something that merits a tremendous amount of attention in the Torah. And it's mesameich likim vanashim. It says wine specifically gladdens the heart of man and God, whatever that means. Who beginnes bina. Yain represents the concept of bina. And that's why it says, Eim habanim semecha. The mother of the children is happy, not the father. V'amur azal, and our sages teach us, in Gemara Neidavin, nichnes yayin, yatsa soid. Wine in, secrets out. On a very literal, mundane camp level, it means people get drunk and they spill all the beans. But on a deeper level, it means, ha'nashyesh te'inyin hanelam, that there's a part of a person's, a person that's concealed, that's hidden. Sometimes people have a latent part of their personality. Sometimes people are actually they're fun people, and they're gregarious, and they're out there, they're outgoing, and they're inspiring, and they're great to be around if they drank some wine first. Why? Because they're too shy to express themselves. So some people have no problem expressing themselves. They wear their heart on their sleeve, and they're always telling you everything they want to share. Some people have a difficulty opening up. So how do they get to open up? The answer is, say a little l'chaim, drink a little wine. And the wine helps them open up. Like the Rebbe once told to somebody who asked about using narcotics. The Rebbe says when a person takes narcotics, it's not you, it's the narcotic. It's the hallucinogenic. But when it's wine, it's you. It's just a you who you didn't open up before. It is you, it's not somebody else. It's just you loosen inhibitions. So you're able to then be you. The narcotics is somebody else, you know? Out of my mind, be back in a half hour. It's a different reality. So this is the idea of wine, idea hayayin bo de gili v'islavos. Wine brings a person to joy and to fervor. That was happening with Nadav and Avihu. Whether they did drink wine literally or not is a good question. Not necessarily, because in the scripture, it doesn't say it openly. It's an idea, it's a concept. And ein mikra yetzei midei pshutei. The scripture can't be disconstrued from its literal meaning. It's a medrash. It doesn't have to be a drink wine. It could be that it means b'chinas ratzei lelikus. They experienced this powerful, intoxicating, overwhelming yearning for God, b'tachas hashleimus, in the highest level levels. So what's the problem with that? Why did I? The problem with that is that's not what Hashem wants. The tachlis hakavanah shiyah b'chinas shoiv. The intention of God is bring it down. That nichnas b'shalom v'yatzah b'shalom. You have to enter in peace, you have to leave in peace. And lefika chaveda zu, eni kedabai. So we found that after Nadav and Avihu, the hard way, that this is not the right Aveda. They thought it is the right Aveda. They made a good, an honest mistake. A mistake that the holiest of the holy make. But now you can't make the mistake anymore. It's the first time it's a mistake. The second time it's stupidity. You have to learn from the mistake. That's why we have a parsha called Achrei Mais. Learn the lesson. They made a mistake well-intentioned. They made a mistake without knowing. Now we know better. Now we know that life is not about getting fired up and carried away. But rather, the Aveda is b'chinas meichen da'aba. So what's meichen da'aba? Meichen da'aba is when a person has clarity. Is that clarity about something? When, like, the lights go on. That's meichen da'aba. It's an epiphany. I don't know. I have an idea. So, that's what you mean. Sometimes the person's trying to tell you something, tell you, and you don't get it. And then all of a sudden, you have that aha moment. Now I get it. So this is what you want me to do. I'm trying to say it for the last half hour. Now I get it. So meichen da'aba is not about self-consciousness or self-awareness or self-expression or my analysis or my understanding or my yearning or my desire. That's what Bina is about. Bina is all about me. How do I understand this? Bina is about the notion of me trying to extricate myself from my previous misunderstandings and trying to come to a deeper understanding. It comes from below. I'm wrestling with this. I'm working it out. But Chachma comes from a higher place. It's not about my working to get somewhere, understand something. Chachma is the light shines on me, so to speak. I suddenly have this clarity, sudden clarity that comes from a higher place. And that sudden clarity, which is called Chachma, enables me to understand exactly what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes a person gets bogged down in the details. It's called mad science syndrome, where a person is like a mad scientist. You know, like you're doing equation after equation after equation, and experiment after experiment after experiment. And you say, doctor, you've been experimenting now for 30 years. Have you any conclusions? I have to make another experiment. I have to look into this again. And it's like a mad scientist. You're not getting anywhere. But the scientist who gets somewhere is, okay, at a certain point, okay, this is getting obsessive. We're getting crazy over here. We're going to keep splitting hairs, keep looking, and we have to move to the next level. We have to come to a conclusion. Say, you know what? If we did 6 experiments, 7 experiments, 8 experiments, we got this. It's pretty clear. No, you could do another 16. I know. We got to move on. So that clarity of having direction, a person who lacks direction in life, but they get excited about everything and they sit and ruminate on everything, but they never get anywhere because they never have any direction. They have no clarity. That's the meaning of having only maternal intellect without having any masculine intellect. The masculine intellect, the chachma, is the flash, the clarity, and you move on. The bina is the obsessing over and rehashing and rethinking and then reanalyzing and then looking even deeper and then realizing how amazing this idea is and then get all excited about it and then rinse and repeat. And you go through the same cycle all over again. And you're not getting anywhere. And that's the idea of negoy. And that's what the avodah is not going to be. And that's why our sages said, Ezel Chacham, who is wise, harayas anoylad, who sees the next step. Where's this going? Or sees even better where how this develops, where it goes somewhere. Peter Shereya called David Eich Neilad V'Nishava. On a deeper level, it means you see how everything's being brought into existence by the higher force of divinity. So because the Chachma has that perfect clarity, you don't get carried away with your own intellect, your own ideas, your own self. Instead, you see with perfect clarity how everything is coming from a higher place and that there is a purpose to life. And you know what the purpose is. So you don't get carried away with the details and lose the forest, but instead you have a perfect sense of where this must go. And what about if I don't want it? Who are you? It's not about you. You realize that we're involved in something, a project that's much bigger than us. And therefore, you put yourself aside and you move forward. And this is an Avedis Adam. This is what it means. Avedis HaTfilah. Prayer is Bechinas Ratzoi. Prayer is designed to stimulate a sense of yearning and a desire to be close to Hashem. Kemaimer, like the famous statement in the Zohar, Les Pulchano, Kepulchano Merderechomisa. There is no work, no service like the service of the heart. However, my dear friends, Ein Zetachos HaShleimus. Being a praying mantis and davening and davening and davening. But if you don't actually study Torah, and you don't actually translate that those ideals into ideas and into idealism, and then go ahead and do it, you're missing the point. When the person is praying, and he's delighting in God, and he's living in a higher place, it's still the I, he's still the I. I feels the I love God. I feel spiritual. I'm having a spiritual experience. And that's a problem because there's a little bit too much emphasis on I. Mashenke b'chinas Torah. Torah is not I, but rather it should be, okay, what does God say? What does the Torah say? What is the halacha? V'zeu ha'hefesh ha'vedes ha'tfilah limud ha'Torah. This is the difference between ha'vedes ha'tfilah and the idea of prayer and the idea of Torah study. Ha'vedes ha'tfilah n'yonim mechon de'ema. Prayer represents the maternal intellect, bina, the analysis. And that's why before davening, what are you supposed to do? Study and contemplate, not just study, like it says in Lent of Chassidus. Mashenka limud ha'Torah. Torah is supposed to follow the idea of davening. It means mechon de'abo, to get clarity. My soul will be like dust. In other words, that the key to understanding Torah is humility. If Torah is about I think this, I think that, you're not learning Torah, then you're just self-expressing. Torah is, what does Hashem say? What does the Torah say? V'achemavatel gavremetz yusei, that a person at some point renounces self entirely and he gets absorbed into a higher ideal and a higher ideas. Because he has his bittel, so then he translates it into action, brings it down. And even though when a person learns Torah, he becomes a very powerful force that we know through enormous amounts of Torah learning, a person could actually bring about changes in this world, like the famous Yerushalmi on the words of Kel Gemer Alai. But that's not you. That's because you become a conduit. That becomes you become Hashem, says, I place my word in your mouth. Or like the Mishnah told the Beis Yosef, Ani ha-Mishnah medaberes beficha. I am the Mishnah speaking within your mouth. Like it says in the Zohar, Man p'nei Odin havaya, who is the face of God, Darash bi. That's Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Reb Shimon bar Yochai is God? No, Reb Shimon bar Yochai became so close to God that he became seamless and he became invisible. So that became, so to speak, the direct connection to God. And that's what Ashbi, we say about Reb Shimon bar Yochai, we don't say he was the greatest praying Jew. He was the greatest Torah Jew. He was Torah Asi Umanasi. Everything about him was Torah. And that's the emphasis here is not only just Torah, that's his umness, that he brought the Torah down into becoming his craft and his profession. And from this we can understand why the idea of Negoyim, of the lesions, come from Meichen, when there's no Meichen da Abba. So Meichen da Ema means, when there's too much maternal intellect, what do you end up with too much? Too much I. Too much emphasis on I. When it's too much eye, what do you end up with? You end up with these discolorations on the derma. That's when the skin discolorations happen. Because ultimately, it comes from conceit, and from arrogance, and from looking down at others. It comes from too much emphasis on how I feel, how I look, how I analyze. And therefore, what does a yid need in order to be able to overcome this? He needs a concept of humility. Which idea of meichen da'abar, he needs clarity, not about how I think about it, but what does God say? Therefore, he has to go to the Kohen, which here the Rebbe says something interesting. Usually we say about the Kohen is love. Here the Rebbe says, Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Das, that it's the mouth and the lips of the Kohen come Das. Das is bring it down into, like, so to speak, an opinion. Bottom line, where do we go with this? Or, like it says, Torah Yivakshim Epiu. Torah you should seek out from the Kohen. And we know that the Kohen were actually the Torah teachers of the Jewish people. They worked in the Beis HaMikdash for a few weeks a year, but most of the year they were teaching Torah to Jewish people. And this is the notion of how now we can understand a little bit of the Eitz Chaim's formula of what went wrong with the psychoschematic failing that brought about the concept of Tzoras. How does it happen when there's only Meichen de Ema without Meichen de Abba? But when we have the Meichen de Abba, we have the Chochmah of the clarity that enables us to be able to transform ourselves and the world down to the derma, or the most external element, that the negativity gets eclipsed and taken away, and the Metzora gets healed. And there's much, much more to speak about, but this is, as I say, I'll say HaMazlik on the Spitzmesser, just to be able to get a little bit of a clarity about how the Etz Chaim views this thing. And there's more. Anyway, the bottom line is, it should all come down in real time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us all week. And I wish you all a good Shabbos.